My message entitled this week is, What is Truth? That's something to really think about. What is truth? You hear so much, well, this is true, that's true, but really, what is it? That's the missing question, I think, from the lectionary reading this week. But it's an important question. So as we celebrate this Sunday, the reign of Christ Sunday, or the King of Sunday, Jesus is the King, so we call this Christ the King Sunday, and a lot of the liturgies, we find ourselves watching Jesus' interaction with Pilate the eve before his death. Now, the Jewish authorities have handed him over to the Romans and hope that they will sentence him to death. And as the priests and the Pharisees had no power to do so in their culture, in their own courts, because of the Roman control, this would be the only way they could get rid of this dissident from under their skin. He bothered everybody. Well, Pilate reluctantly interviewed Jesus. He tries to get to the bottom of what's truly going on. And the first thing he asked him was, Are you the King of the Jews? Jesus answers with a question. That's what Jesus does. That was a wonderful teaching thing. You ask a question, and he answers with a question. So this was the question. He said, Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you this? Well, Pilate replied, I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own people and the chief priests have handed you over to me, so what have you done? Jesus answers, My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. And now with that answer, Jesus removed the threat to Rome. And Pilate again says, So, you're a king? Jesus answers definitely, You call me a king, and here is my purpose, the reason I was born and come into the world, to testify the truth. Everybody who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Are you the missing piece? Are you the one who follows? Or what are you? And what is truth? Pilate asked. Well, language and context are everything here. And most of the interactions in life, in this case of Jesus and Pilate, they're essentially speaking different languages. The truth that Jesus witnesses to testifies to his entire being, representing as the Son of God in his ministry and mission that points to God for ultimate authority. For Jesus, God's kingdom supersedes everything. And we as human beings are incapable of knowing that truth in its entirety. Hence, that's why we have faith. Oh, wow. So Pilate, on the other hand, concerns himself with a worldly kingdom governing a restless people. And his idea of truth comes from Aristotle philosophy, in which truth is a philosophical premise in which you got to be a philosopher king, if someone who loves all these truths and analyzing and all that. But Pilate's concept of truth has to do with running a good government, because he was in charge of the local government, using power wisely to achieve good and ethical and moral decision making. But in the Greek philosophy of Aristotle, to which the Roman leader would subscribe, truth reflects what is in the world. Aristotle suggests that we encounter two forms of truth. Theoretical truth means understanding the world's basic principles. And then we got practical truth. It's about the ability to make ethical decisions based on those principles. Neither of those ascribed truth to a higher power. If we were alive in the 40s and the 50s, and I was blessed to be born in 1944, now I don't remember all the things in the 40s, but in the early 50s I do. You may have encountered a bit of this kind of thinking when you took science classes. You were probably taught that science is the pursuit of facts and that science can uncover truth about our world and existence. But then along comes 1962. A lot of things happened in 62, by the way. They took God out of school. But in 1962, Thomas Kuhn published his groundbreaking work called The Structure of Scientific Revolutions. And in it, he asserted that science is not objective and that objectivity is a fallacy in our thinking, that we cannot assert any absolute truths because of our personal observation will always render anything that we see as subjective. And when culture paradigm shifts, so does our concept of truth. Now, I just want to digress for a minute and talk about that absolute truth. You've heard people say there are no absolute truths. Now, this is Ralphie, but I know there's an absolute truth. You might say, well, do you? And I said, yeah. Because when you come into this world, the absolute truth is you're going to leave this world. Unless the Lord comes and returns for us in the rapture. But the absolute truth is when we enter this world, we're going to end this world and through death. That's an absolute. Anyhow, I digress again. Today, still in the midst of the technological revolution, we have moved as a society from a respect for authorities or specialists or people who know the facts and we can depend on their concepts of truth to a society in which everybody has a voice and can cultivate their own ideas or truth. Well, in the age of the internet, everyone becomes their own authority. It's amazing. Couple this with the growing and pervasive influence of social media, we become more like pawns in a sea of truth concept from which we can choose according to our own needs. Well, you know, it's kind of comical in a way, but for us today, truth is just not relative. It fluctuates depending on our needs and wants at any given time or period in a paradigm. Well, a paradigm is a form of things and things that you can put together, sort of like a model. But then you hear people talk, well, I got a new paradigm. Well, in a sense, you can compare people today with an orchestra in which several sections decide to use their own scales, their own key, and play their own rhythms and their own instruments. So we have people today, for most part, are philosophically declined the idea of absolute truth. So in the midst, here comes Jesus, you know, Jesus right on time, as I said last week, asking us to tune our hearts and souls to God's perfect pitch. Jesus doesn't try to change Pilate. He merely states who he is and what his ministry and mission is all about, to testify to the truth, and that's truth with a capital T. For Jesus, God is the absolute, ultimate, and the only true truth. And Jesus is God's witness, incarnation, his God in the flesh, great revealed. We hear that term Emmanuel, which being interpreted God with us. And then Jesus was also the way, the truth, and the life. He told him that. For Jesus, the world can never represent truth. Human beings can never be achieving the truth. And Jesus has no interest in competing with the Roman government. Pilate knows this. Now, he may not understand it or abide by Jesus' concept of God as truth. He may see Jesus himself as just like, you know, representing God's truth or faculty, or he may just actually deem Jesus as an ethical and worthy philosopher. In any case, Pilate actually has no interest in sentencing Jesus. A disagreement in their concept of truth was, after all, to be expected. After all, as Pilate says, he's not Jewish. He has essentially no interest in Jesus, and most likely he's annoyed by the Jewish authority for wasting his time and bringing him here. And Pilate, he just tried to pass him off, and the Jewish authorities insisted, no, no, no. And we all know what happened from there. We not only sentence Jesus, we crucify the truth. Now, whether you and I subscribe to our own sense of truth about world or our lives, and whether we feel confused about the hundreds of messages about truth that we receive in a barrage of social media, advertising, and whether we ascribe to certain philosophies or theologies or public figures, Jesus' witness does not change. In this, we can take comfort. There's no matter how chaotic the world may get, and no matter how many paradigm shifts we undergo, God's truth does not change. And every time we worship God, that we pray to God, we listen for God's call in our life, we acknowledge and witness to the truth as well. For the truth came into the world and will save us, not only from our confusion or our doubts or our disagreements, but from the vacancy within ourselves that these create. So our identity, our security, our foundation comes from the truth of Jesus, a truth that serves as a sturdy rocks in the storm of life. And a tree of life that cannot be uprooted. You know, we got these hurricanes and tornadoes. We see how these trees become uprooted. But the tree of life cannot be uprooted, no matter how the winds of change blow. Now, here is our closing message. And something to think about. For you want the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, I have a little Ralphie thing that I say, and I got this a long time ago. I don't know where I got it from. As I always say, I use Ecclesiastes as a disclaimer, because when I think I got something original, I find out it's been used before. As Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that's here now has been here before. But this is what I come up with. People say, the truth hurts. Does the truth really hurt? Or does the only time the truth hurt is when you're not in harmony with the truth? Think about that. God is our constant, and Jesus is our witness to the truth. Amen. God loves you, and so do I. I want to be able to just to let you know that we love you, and you know, we like coming to these online services and trying to encourage you, and I hope and pray that you get something out of them. Phil and I would love to hear from you, any comments or anything, and you can find that information on the website, how to contact us. And if we can be of any help in helping you to develop your relationship with God through Jesus, we'd love to help you with it. So with that, I'd like to say, have a wonderful day.